Insight on Business the NewsHour is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, helping you turn human resources into a profit zone rather than an expense. Focusandfind.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business the NewsHour. Grateful you are listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to reside. With me is Ben Schneider. Now, Ben is an entrepreneur. He's also a business coach. He talks about organizational philosophy and leadership. And we're going to be talking about his business called Pedal Power. He has a pedicab. Actually, he has several pedicabs. He's based in Iowa City, Iowa, where we are at for EntreFest 2022. Ben, welcome to the Business NewsHour. Great to have you here, sir.
Yes, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You know, this is always remarkable what people do for a living.
It is.
We have interviewed, you know, entrepreneurs and established business people, and it never ceases to amaze me how people make a living. So tell us about Pedal Power.
Yeah. Well, if you're not familiar with the term pedicab, maybe bicycle rickshaw or bicycle taxi, basically a big tricycle with a bench seat in the back. You probably have seen them in larger metropolitan areas for tourists and things like that. Our philosophy is certainly different than that and much more local for primarily Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and Iowa City. But we also will travel occasionally to other places within the state as well. But we take that traditional pedicab idea and then put a different twist on it and just tweak it a little.
Okay. Well, how do you tweak it?
Yeah, so traditionally what you'll see is they're used as bike taxis for tourists to hop on and go around. So what we do is we, in the Iowa City area with a Big Ten university here at the University of Iowa, we treat it as a taxi service. Huh. We do have electric assist motors on there, which help us with a steeper hill or carrying more weight. Also allows us to be a little less tired at the end of the day, but we are still pedaling and working quite a bit. But that allows us to operate as a true taxi. But on top of that, we do date night packages and we do weddings and we change the colors on the side of the cab and put on different types of canopies. If somebody wants a white garden trellis canopy, we'll do that.
We got that done.
If somebody wants a horse carriage canopy, we'll do that. But we also do other innovative things where, aside from all of the LED lights and things on there, we do advertising as well. So we have LED screens on the back that do advertising, and the batteries that I have for those last about 13-14 hours depending on the brightness level and everything there. But that allows us to target different areas for organizations in terms of advertising.
Sure.
But it also is a unique thing that gets more looks, which outdoor advertising has higher rates of return and ROI for businesses on advertising. But since we're mobile and unique, our rate of return is actually higher on that. But then we're on the bikes, we can actually be advocates for who we're advertising for. I installed little signage placards on the inside of the cab and brochure holders and other things as well. So there's lots of different things, and we're going to be adding tablets on there for some advertising and more kind of user experience interactive type things too down the road here.
You got a lot of stuff going on.
Oh yeah, we do webisodes on them, like Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee type format.
Sure.
With Jerry Seinfeld, where we'll film it you know, and interview people from different organizations or say a local politician or whoever, and then produce those webisodes. We also do mobile trivia on the pedicabs as well, where local businesses can get attention and donate prizes, and we'll advertise for them and turn it into a community effort. So long story short, we do a lot. Yeah.
Dan Snyder is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He has a business called Pedal Power. And how long have you been doing this?
Well, in the pedicab mode 2 years now. We still do this in addition to the business, but I started off pulling trailers behind a typical bicycle with banners inside those frames.
So you were advertising on behalf of other clients.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And still are with the digital screens, but it started off as just pure bicycles pulling a trailer with a banner inside of the trailer.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I have to ask the next question, because you've got so many marketing places where you can make money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got a lot of stuff going on, from advertising to bicycle riding to you know.
Even bicycle advocacy, even. You know, if we'd love for people to take a ride with us, but We believe that cycling is good for communities in different ways. So it is, yeah. we support that as well.
Tell me a little bit about the growth in this industry. I mean, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I've seen pedicabs in Asia.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Very regularly. I haven't seen many in Iowa.
In Iowa, the only other two that I'm aware of are two guys in Des Moines, and they follow more of the traditional pedicab route of picking people at fairs, and they pretty much just focus on bigger events. Mm. Whereas we're trying to turn this into an everyday, business that is operating on fairs, but everyday advertising as well.
As you just mentioned Des Moines, you're headed back to the Iowa State Fair this year?
We are. We were there last year. It's really fun to see the people, and people have a lot of fun getting on rides and making it part of their experience. And we really are going to be there this year. We're going to be at RAGBRAI this year for the overnight towns like we were last year, Jones County Fair this year. We don't travel a lot, but we will go for those bigger events because financially, it's pretty viable between the rides and the advertising for us.
Well, not only do you have to get there, and I'm suspecting that you don't pedal all the way to Des Moines from Iowa City. You probably take a big...
I would love to, but between time consumption and wear and tear and everything else, it'd be tough, but I would love to. Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about the business model. I get it with the marketing and the advertising and the special events and being attentive to your clients. What's it cost to... take a ride on a pedicab?
Yeah. So typically when we're at a bigger event, like say the state fair, and we have fuel costs and other things, it's still really cost effective, just $10 a person to, go wherever they need to go. I know of other pedicab companies that may travel or be in the state that charge substantially more than double that. Mm. And so we try and make sure that we're keeping the consumer in mind, but I'm also trying to make sure that I can pay wages for my employees because I pay them very well. We all ride. A lot of them are involved in marketing or sales or anything that kind of is in their wheelhouse that they're interested in. They can do that as well. And, so I give them a lot of leeway and trust. And if there's something that they notice that they think we should be doing, then we'll adjust and, go from there too.
It always matters when you have employees that you listen to.
Oh, I cannot say enough. I mean, to a person, every employee, and I say I have, but I really want to say that I work with because I look at them as on the same field and as I am, that they are invested and they believe in the idea. They're all diplomatic and just people, oriented. So I am so grateful to have the people that I do. In Iowa City, outside of, to circle back before I go on a transactional different direction, but here in Iowa City in Cedar Rapids, we charge $5 per person.
Got it.
In Iowa City, that's partially due just to how their regulations are for meters, and we get lumped in with a traditional taxi cab. So it's easier and simpler for us to just have a flat rate.
Sure.
And Cedar Rapids is much easier in terms of their regulations and things like that. But we try and keep it simple for people there, too.
Every town has a bit of a different take with their local laws.
It does, and a different culture. We even at the state fair, we adapt to different people on different nights that are there for a country concert versus a heavy metal concert.
Sure.
I live in Cedar Rapids, but I used to live in the Iowa City area, but I'm involved here in Iowa City. For example, I'm an ambassador for the business partnership, the local chamber and things like that. But, I think that you have to just understand the culture and the atmosphere of where you are and adapt to that, and which then translates into what their needs are.
Yeah, you have to pay attention to who your potential customers are.
Oh, yeah.
All
absolutely.
The time. Now, you've been doing this a couple of years. But I also know something else about you, that you're a business consultant at the same time.
Yeah, I have
which is frighteningly clear the more you talk.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. Better to be coherent than not, so thank you. I have a master's degree in organizational transformation and leadership. And so, that's really important to me when we're talking about employees is to have the right culture. And I could talk for quite a bit about that, but a lot of that involves trust and authenticity. And the ability that people feel like they're doing meaningful work, that they have a sense of purpose as individuals and can be there and make a difference internally and externally.
When you're visiting with your clients on business organization mm-hmm. leadership,
yeah.
what are the top two or three things that you need them to better understand? Or even better yet, what are the top two or three things that most business people, leadership in the C-suite, perhaps, mm-hmm. don't get?
Well, you know, I would say that from my experience, the overwhelming majority of leaders have really good intentions. We're in kind of a civilizational shift, you know, where there's a lot of uncertainty. And so some organizations will sit where they're most comfortable, even though they know that's not the best place for them, but it's a safe place. Other organizations may not know what to do, and they start grasping at straws and throwing mm-hmm. darts at a board and mm-hmm. trying to change that way. And then there's very few organizations that, you know, work with it in a calculated way where it's qualitative and quantitative. It's human balanced with the metrics. And culture is measurable and definable.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of leaders, I think, are scared of thinking long term because we live in the now. And there's consequences to the now, and everybody wants things customized to them. So I think there's a lot of hesitation and barriers to thinking about building a vision for the future and thinking long term.
And what's the danger in that?
The danger in short-term thinking is that if you're not building the foundation for your future or understanding what needs to change or how you need to adjust, that you're really going to be riding a fine line. And I see this in a lot of organizations where they're right on that precipice where they can do amazing, fantastic, great things that are really different, which then, you know, comes out in the metrics too. But at the same time, they could easily just regress very quickly and run into some trouble very quickly because culture is the umbrella that drives processes, systems, branding, website design, all of it.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
Everything.
So,
and yeah. If the leadership, whoever yeah. that happens to be, mm-hmm. if they do not understand who their customers are,
right,
and actually have yeah. this give and take and this communication yeah. back and forth, they're lost.
Well, there's a organizational culture survey, the Organizational Culture Assessment Index, uh-huh. and it's a tongue twister. But essentially that says there's four different culture types. And you can overlap and be part of a couple, but they call this tool also the competing values network, because if you're in one culture versus another, you might be on the other side of this matrix, essentially, where you're more focused internally than focused externally, or you might be more risk-oriented or more stability-oriented. And there's no right or wrong answer, but there is a right or wrong answer for what's authentically you as an organization.
Wow. Good stuff. And think about this, ladies and gentlemen. He runs a pedicab business at the same time.
It's a mixture of blue-collar and white-collar work. You know, on any given moment, I could be underneath a pedicab adjusting something with grease all over my arms and face. And then the next thing, I'm rushing home to take a shower to meet with somebody in a meeting and talk about organizational culture. So,
all right, which of these two jobs do you like the most? Or is it pretty much, because there's such a dichotomy between the two.
There is a huge dichotomy, but there is a lot of overlap at the same time. A lot of what I'm doing in the pedicabs, I'm thinking about community culture, the culture within our company of what we're doing with Pedal Power. But, you know, when I go into do maybe more of that consulting role, I might be thinking not necessarily specifically about the pedicabs, but because when you're out in a pedicab, you see community, you talk to people.
Right.
And, you know, you start thinking about how that impacts a local organization. So, like, I had a client where they have an office in Cedar Rapids. They have an office in Iowa City. And they get along well, but there is a dichotomy between their two offices because the culture expectations,
sure.
which then bleeds into communication, processes, systems, what the building actually looks like and then, you know, implies the character, all these different things, was a split personality. And so it's important to pay attention to those things.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. I said final question, but I do have one more.
No, you're okay.
I just lied
anytime.
To you.
I could go for hours and hours and hours.
I just lied to you. Final question. I never have a final question because I'm so curious.
That's why you're good at what you do.
Well, we try. Yeah. You know, we try. I think we've done over 4,500 interviews in the past 15 years. And
yeah, if you don't have another question, I think you're in trouble.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
All right. How important is it? Now, you're a marketing guy. You market for other people. How important is, first of all, how many pedicabs do you have?
Right now we have 4.
Okay.
But we could get some more in the future here, so.
Yeah. And you talked about expanding into other areas, and you're willing to travel. What do you see as the future of this business, Dan?
Yeah, I think a lot of what we're doing, there's another pedicab company in Nevada, in Reno, called Pineapple Pedicabs. And I came across them after, you know, building up this company and the vision, but they're very close to what we do and the model of it, of being community-centered, of doing tours of mural artwork or partnering with local restaurants and all of these different things. And so really, I think the future of anything involves taking something from the past and tweaking it. There's that acronym MAYA of most acceptable or most advanced yet acceptable. And so, you know, the idea of a pedicab is around and people see it. But then when we add on our LED screens or GPS tracking locations for people to hail us or, you know, doing trivia on the pedicabs or webisodes, I think we're taking an old idea and tweaking it. And so I think that's what the future is. And as we're in the midst of, you know, inflation, high gasoline prices, fossil fuels, the whole economy is, you know, we're talking about the great resignation. Well, I think what's really happening is there's more entrepreneurial activities happening.
Absolutely.
Nobody's resigning. They're just transferring and moving.
Right.
And you're seeing communities kind of go back to the idea of let's put in our local butcher or grocery store or those different things. And so I think our model for Pedal Power really is that emphasis on where we're going as being local, being connected, but marketing in different ways. So, you know, it certainly happened in COVID, but before COVID, advertising online was oversaturated and hard to see stuff. And the fact that we're out, we're different, and we're kind of doing digital advertising while moving and being an ambassador for those different brands and having great conversations with people is certainly a nice way to blend tradition plus the proven of what's new.
And that's one of the really interesting things about your business. You couldn't get any closer to your customers.
Oh, yeah.
They're right there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so you know what they want, mm-hmm. what their desire, what
yeah.
their motivation is for all kinds of different things.
One of my clients, Chomp, a local food delivery here in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City, wonderful company. They only focus on local businesses and local community. They have me going to some smaller rural towns, you know, within 15, 20 minutes of Iowa City, Cedar Rapids. And I advertise for them in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City metropolitan areas, too. But what's interesting is when I'm in the bigger spots, people wave and smile yeah. from their cars, and I see them taking pictures. But sometimes it's harder, you know, along a busier area for people to stop and talk. When I'm in those smaller rural communities, you actually have a chance to talk with people and get their insights and learn from them. And then they value, you know, say, for instance, this particular thing with Chomp that they love that they can get food from Iowa City without making a trip into Iowa City. So, yeah.
Fascinating business, ladies and gentlemen. His name is Dan Schneider, and he is not only a consultant, but also the owner of something called Pedal Power. And yes, you'll be able to see a photograph of Dan in his taxi up on the radio blog. Dan, thanks so very much for spending time with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I hope you have a great afternoon, and we'll see you around here at Entree Fest, which is a great conference, and if people haven't come, they should.
They really should.
Yeah.
Thanks again.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Once again, that is the voice of Ben Schneider. Ben is an entrepreneur for sure. Great thing that he's at Entree Fest 2022, powering his rickshaws, his pedal power bicycles, all over town. He is based in Cedar Rapids and in Iowa City, but you'll be able to find him at the Iowa State Fair later on this year, as well as RagBri. It's a great story, and yes, we will have links to his website on the radio blog. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for joining us. We are doing all of this from Entree Fest this year in Iowa City.
For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator. Sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For those folks, as well as Ben Snyder, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great evening. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.